The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now, you may ask yourself the question, who ran the country during the pandemic? Well, that depends on when you ask and who you ask. But one report claims sweeping powers to restrict our liberty in the name of public health were handed over to National Public Health Emergency Team, or NPHET, to you and I. Alan Eustace is a PhD candidate at Trinity College's Law School. He's also the co-author and editor of this report, and he joins us now. Alan, how much control did you find was handed over to NPHET, this unelected entity?
Hi, Frank. Thanks very much for having us on. So what we examined in this report was quite a wide range of issues associated with the pandemic, from the decision-making processes to the nature of the restrictions that were put in place, and to the support that the state put in place to help people follow the restrictions. The early chapters of the report look at decision-making during the pandemic, and in particular, the relationship between NPHET and the government. So what we have identified is a changing relationship over the course of the past 18 months. And at various different stages, it seems from the available evidence that significant powers from the government were effectively being exercised by the advisory public health team. We've identified an accountability gap that existed. So either the decisions were being made about public health restrictions by NPHET, or the decisions were being made by the government, but using NPHET advice as a cover to avoid taking public accountability for having made those decisions.
And can you give us any examples, Alan, of situations where NPHET was making the calls? Because you talk about an accountability gap, and that was certainly a feature throughout the last 16, 17 months or so, from my point of view, where it was sometimes confusing to figure out who was actually making the ultimate call.
So we looked, as I say, at a timeline across the course of the pandemic. In particular, we focused on the period leading up to the relaxation of restrictions at Christmas time, and then the reimposition of restrictions towards the end of December. And at that time and others, we identified that it was unclear to us, examining the evidence, what sort of processes were in place for decisions being made, whether the decisions were entirely made by NPHET and then communicated publicly in an attempt to sort of bounce the government into decisions before other kinds of information and expertise could be taken into account. And so we saw, for example, when it came time for restrictions to be lessened in the lead up to Christmas, we saw the government diverging from NPHET recommendations. And then as the public health situation deteriorated, we saw advice being communicated from NPHET directly to the public, which seemed to be calculated to put political pressure on government to follow the advice, whether or not other kinds of information were being taken into account. We aren't public health doctors. We can't criticise the restrictions themselves. We have no reason to think that any of the advice NPHET has given wasn't good advice, but we are concerned about issues of accountability, transparency, and democratic oversight of the decisions that have been made by the state, with it being unclear whether the locus of power lies with cabinet or with the unelected non-statutory advisory bodies.
Yeah. Look, I think it's fair to say that desperate times call for desperate measures. And, you know, certainly at the outset of the pandemic, I mean, would you have some sympathy for those in actual power when faced with these uncharted and choppy waters? And through your research, do you think that sympathy maybe dwindled over time as they got a better handle of things and maybe weren't as reliant on NPHET?
So certainly we acknowledge in the report that when it comes time to make decisions in a public health emergency, it is inevitable that there's going to be some compromises made to the ordinary processes of democratic government. But we think it's regrettable that some of those compromises have persisted as long as they have. And we also think that there's been a failure to communicate to the public what sort of compromises have actually been made. So we, for example, draw attention to the fact that the Oireachtas has not been able to perform its ordinary oversight functions for most of the pandemic, owing to social distancing requirements in the Dáil chambers. We think that's a problem from mm-hmm. the perspective of democratic oversight and good governance.
What about the public's view? I mean, the government is making decisions in the best interests of the citizens that it represents. How much of the public view was taken into account, do you think? And, you know, when it comes to messaging, you touched on that a moment ago, did the public seem confused about who was in control? Because at certain pressure points, certainly from my point of view, the lines seemed to be very blurred.
Yeah, so there's two issues there. The first is that in respect of having information and viewpoints brought in to the decision-making process, it's been completely unclear from the beginning how expertise other than that of a public health medical nature has filtered through to the pandemic decision-making. Again, mm-hmm. we can't fault the decisions that have actually been made. We don't have expertise in that ourselves. But what we've observed is that NPHET has a relatively narrow range of expertise, and that there's no obvious mechanism for civil society groups, experts in, for example, childhood development, to have been brought in to the decision-making process. Mm-hmm. It may be happening, right? It may be that government takes NPHET advice and then adds in advice from other stakeholders. It may be the case that NPHET is taking advice from other stakeholders, but it's not obvious how that's happening in a reliable and transparent way, because NPHET is a non-statutory body with no prescribed legal processes for how it works.
And finally then, I suppose just to follow up on that, you know, and very quickly, what lessons do you think can be learned and should be learned? And let's hope we never find ourselves in a similar situation. But if we do, what lessons do you think can be learned from this unorthodox relationship between the government and NPHET?
So we have 16 recommendations in the report in total. Some of those relate to the sort of supports that the state needs to give individuals. In respect of the governance recommendations that we make, we think it's very important that the relationship between the state and its advisory bodies be put on a statutory footing. This would also allow for formal procedures to be put in place for appointment to bodies like NPHET or equivalent bodies in future emergencies. And that would allow for perhaps a broader range of perspectives to be filtered through the decision-making process in a formal way. We also talk about the relationship between NPHET, the media and the government. We think it's very important that public advisory bodies be transparent with the advice they're giving. So we see no problem with NPHET making public media comments, but it's important that that not be used as a shield for the government to avoid accountability for decisions.
Okay.
And then finally, we just talk about that accountability gap that exists. The media has played the role really of bringing other perspectives to bear. That should be the a broader range of perspectives should be incorporated within the decision making process in a legal way.
Okay. Alan Eustace, it's a fascinating report. Congratulations on all the work you have put into it. Alan is a PhD candidate at Trinity College's Law School and again a co-author and editor of that report.